sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yo, peace, peace, what up? We here. It's the Red Light Special, man. Recording real one time from a secret location. We ain't in the studio this week. We waiting on Chris. First of all, before we go any further, I want to shout out Jake and Papa. They gave us our theme song, our intro song. So shout to y'all. But listen, man, I came back from a show in Santos in New York City. And once I went to the show and I seen this guy perform, I knew I had to have him as a guest. We just gonna get right into it, man. This week's guest is one of the most exciting new artists to hit the R&B scene. He hails from the Toronto surrounding area up in Canada, and thanks to his incredible mixtape grind, he earned himself a deal with Interscope Records. I mean, maybe you know him from his Lost Cause tape. Maybe you know him from his Cruel Intentions EP. Maybe you know him from Meek Mill's Lord Knows intro. Or maybe you brand new and you just learned who he is from his hit single, Say It.
Yeah.
No matter how you know him, please help us to welcome Tory Lanez to the Red Light
Thank
Special.
Thank you so much, man. I'm just so happy to be here and so honored to be here. It's a blessing.
Yeah, now it took a little while to get this popping, man.
Hey, we in now.
Yeah,
that's
man.
That's all it's important.
I appreciate you even like thinking enough of the show and the platform.
Nah, thank you, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? We was just talking about, you know, how I heard you on the Wiz tape, and you know, I was like, yo, that's crazy that you was, you know, even putting the room together with, you know?
Yeah.
It's dope to be here.
Nah, that's dope, man. Yeah, man, so saw you in New York. I just wanted to start there, man.
Yeah.
In Santos. And I knew the records and I knew who you was and I knew the voice. But I ain't know until the performance. Bruh.
I take so much pride in the performance, just first of all. Like, I take a lot of pride in it.
Right.
It's kind of like how I look at the craft of you know, just being an artist in general. It's like, on that stage, it's like when people get to see you live. That means they get to see the artist they've been listening to and the energy that they've been hearing from this artist. They get to see it live, you know?
Right. Unforgettable performance. I mean, because the records literally came to life, so... My favorite part of the show, and I've been going to shows all my life, I feel like, or, you know, since I was like 15, since
Definitely.
I could sneak into the club.
Definitely.
And I feel like I seen it all, especially when you're talking about club venues, smaller venues. I'm like, I seen it all. You know, you don't have the fireworks, but you don't have the pyrotechnics. That's a different type of permit.
Yeah, of course.
So what you did was, so you crowd surf, which was cool, and your fans carried you from the stage.
Mm-hmm.
To the back of the club, to the bar.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Then you got on the bar.
You know, we I always try to wild out and take the show to some place that it's never been, you know, regardless of where we are. There's times, you know, I try to, like, do that with different shows. There's times I try to do that with, like, all kinds of stuff. Every show is different. You know, none of the shows are exactly the same. I don't crowd surf to the same places. I don't crowd walk to the same places and do the same thing and say the same thing.
See, you're giving it away, though. I want to go back. Now, you crowd surf to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Then you use the bar as your stage. You definitely perform two songs on the bar.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, that's fly. All right. Smart guy. How you going to get back to the stage?
I'm sure a lot of people were probably in the crowd thinking that, like, what is he about to do to get back to the stage?
What he going to do next? So, you set it up now. Now, you don't crowd surf back to the stage.
Nah.
What did you do to get back to the stage?
We crowd walk. You know, what I do is I crowd walk. It's like this thing I do with, you know, the citizens and the fans that come out there and they'll, you know, they put their hands up in the air and I literally just start walking on everybody's hands. Everybody come. It's like it's kind of like I'm crowd surfing, just like literally walking, and I crowd walk back to the stage. What's crazy is, and just while we're on that, the next day I had to do Colorado, Denver, and
Red Rocks.
Yeah, so I'm sure you're familiar with the venue.
Yes,
you know that I'm the first person ever, like of all time, to crowd walk from the front of the stage to the back of Red Rock, right?
That's amazing.
I did that 10,000 people. I don't get me wrong. I almost died like 4 or 5 times because, you know, it's an uphill thing. And I crowd surfed back down.
Right.
The crowd surf on the way down, I literally died. I almost died about like 5 times.
Have you ever been dropped? First of all, this takes a tremendous amount of confidence and trust in your fans.
Yeah.
You ever been dropped?
Keep it 100. Keep it a buck. Some people can't hold me, but the thing about it is like, if I've ever dropped, I've never actually hit back to floor.
Okay.
Like I've dropped, and then like right at the very bottom, there's this one person who will pull me or who will catch me like right before I get to the bottom. But I've definitely gone through people, and then like people think I'm done, and then I randomly come up with I'm back up. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That one fan that picks you up, that's the one that's going to buy 5 copies of the album when the album drops. That's the dedicated fan.
I don't even think it's just some people, they're just so like into it that they don't want it to drop. They don't want anything, you know.
And you definitely, most people got their phones out now because this is an experience. Now, you didn't just crowd walk, okay? Because the song that you were performing was probably one of your most turned up joints was Diego.
Yeah, they go crazy.
And you stopped for a second. When that beat dropped, you did a bounce. Like, you was performing on your fans. It wasn't just a walk. Like, you stopped for a second and flexed.
Nah,
place.
I got it. You know, for me, it's like, you do the things that no one expects you to do because this is not the venue for that, or, you know, and you just try to take, I just try to take, you know, whatever I do and just amplify it and just do it to another level where, you know, people are watching it like, yo, this kid is just crazy. Like, I don't know what's going to happen next.
And
you know?
Your show was just getting started, right? So talk to me about the tour.
Well, right now I'm on a Swave Nation tour with Boogie. This kid out of the West, he's really dope. And we're on the Swave Nation tour right now. And basically, excuse me, I've been going to so much different places. As you can see, my throat's kind of fucked up from the temperature change. But
that's all good.
Excuse me. But yeah, so, you know, we just been traveling. It's been going everywhere. We've been up north. We about to do a couple dates in Canada, and then we about to come back to America to wrap it up until December 18th. So we'll be touring for that long.
That's dope, man. Yeah. Shout out to Boogie too, man. I really like that record.
Cool,
that he got
cool,
out
cool,
here.
Kid.
Dope energy, man. See, I haven't met him yet, but my man, shout out to Jay Andino over at
100.
Scope, been in my ear about Boogie for a minute, man. So that's super dope. You know, man, what I like about you is you have fans that are dedicated. I think you're having a moment right now with Say It. I feel like Say It is growing every week on radio, and the record's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. But I think you also have fans who don't give a fuck about Say It. Like, if you never had a Say It.
I have so – that's the crazy thing is it's like right when, you know, shit started getting really, really crazy, it was like right before Say It, like and I don't say fans, I say the citizens because, you know, I rep this thing called Swave Nation, but the citizens was they were crazy. It was just the music was just connecting at so many levels and it was coming so consistently that it was a certain fan base just off of the records that I did. Like, it was a big fan base just off of one record I had called Godfather.
Yeah.
You know, there was a big fan base off of just the Lost Cause mixtape. There's a fan base that's for the Chicks Tape 2 mixtape where that's just, you know, all R&B. And then there's, you know, there's different people that got on at different times. So there's like, yeah, there's these new people that, you know, are on saying like, yo, this is a great record. The first time hearing this kid, or Lord knows this is the first time hearing this kid. But then there's like a group of people that are like, what are you talking about? Like, this kid has constant stuff. And I think that's what's, you know, so crazy about me is that people are finally going back and they're finally seeing all the work that I've been putting in, all the consistent records that I had to put in because I couldn't have just got on off of one, you know?
So they can't never take away from you. Talk about your style, though, because say it definitely samples Brownstone. So If You Love Me, which was a popular record in 1994, y'all go look that up. That's a great record.
Incredible record.
I want to say it's kind of the softer side of Tory Lanez, but the great thing about you is you got like hard shit too, but it don't ever feel like you go in one lane and like you blend it very well.
Definitely.
Talk about your style and how you define yourself, because I think the easy thing to do is be like, yo, he's R&B. Or the easy thing to do is be like, yo, he's a rapper. And I think it's something else going on.
Nah, it's basically my genre that I've created for myself. And I shouldn't even say my genre. It's like someone saying my hip hop. But, you know, my genre and the genre that I'm in, it's called Swavy.
Swavy. Yep.
And basically it means that, you know, I'm talented enough to fuse multiple genres together without any border or, you know, any limitation. You know, I'm not in the box with the music, or, you know, I won't be succumbed to doing one thing. Basically, I feel like right now Swavy is the new hip hop.
Right.
Because, you know, it comes to a level and a standard point where it's like, you know, now that music has come out and it's not one dimensional anymore. Mm-hmm. Now it's, you know, what else does this kid have to offer? Because I'm going over here and this kid's giving me hip hop and R&B.
Right.
And this kid's giving me rap and reggae and this and that. And that's, you know, that's where music is right now. People don't just want to hear something that has one sound.
What do you attribute it to? 'Cause and this is not to compare you to anybody else, but it feels like a bunch of different artists from this generation are arriving in similar places. Like, you know,
I mean,
you take,
they make swavy music.
Yeah, you take a guy like Party, like, yeah, he's singing, but there's rap cadences. You take Drake, who sings and rap. You take a guy like Bryson Tiller.
All of them are swavy artists.
Right.
You know, they're all swavy artists. Right. They they can't deny being swavy.
Right. But, okay. There's not some secret swavy meeting where everybody is in.
Nah, is there a secret hip hop meeting?
Right.
Nah,
right.
It's just you hear it and you classify it and say, yo, this is what it is.
Right.
And even if someone goes, yo, I'm not a rapper, but if they come out and go, yo, habity dibity dabity dabity, you're rapping. You know what I'm saying? Like this is swave. This is the art of it. And I think the thing that might take people back, or people may not want to endorse it because it's like, oh, this came from this rapper, so I'm not gonna. But it's deeper than that. I just created the term so that I had something to encase myself in without anybody trying to encase me in anything that was one dimensional.
Right.
You know, so, but all those artists are swavy artists.
That's dope.
Trey Songz, Chris Brown.
Trey Songz definitely spit.
He's a real spitter. Like nobody really knew. Trey be really ripping shit too.
Right. Yeah. One of my favorite Trey Songz joints, I listen to this, Get Motivated, is, Top of the World off of Anticipation 2. He had a couple bars on there. You know, Chris obviously spit something. And you know, rappers been singing though. I think people, I'm old enough to remember, like, I mean, what was Biz Markie? Oh baby.
Nah, real talk.
It's real been talk. There.
There's a lot of rappers, you know, Farside.
Yeah.
Who was you know.
So, Say It. Let's go to Say It, because this is a big moment. Produced by Poppin' Oak. And those guys got hits for days. Whose idea was it to sample the Brownstone track?
I think it was Pop. Pop walked in the studio and was just working on it. And before he could finish the beat, I went in the booth. I didn't write anything. I just did it all off of expression.
Right.
But what people don't know about this song is, like, all of my songs, even when they're real soft and stuff, like, they deal with real things. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really listen to what the song is about,
right.
Like, a lot of people don't know what the song is about. Right. They just know, they're like, oh, this is a good song.
Right.
But the song is actually about, like, a girl that only liked me because I'm getting bread.
Well, we see that in the video. The video does
you know,
telling the story.
Yeah, so, you know, people don't really know, like, certain things I'm saying in it is like, you know, it reverts to that. It reverts to a real topic. I'm not just singing to just sing. It sounds cool.
And you start out also, like, would you even fuck with me if I wasn't in the foreign? Like,
exactly.
You set the stage.
You would have won a young nigga if I wasn't whipping this foreign. Like, I could have rapped that to you, but I'd rather sing it in melody.
Let me ask you a question. What car are you driving now?
Honestly, right now, I don't have a car.
Okay.
Because, No, dead ass. Like, and it was crazy is like I had an SL550, stupid joint, and I stopped driving it because it's like I'm paying these payments and I'm never home.
Right.
So it was like, what am I, like, what is this for? You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm just paying payments on this car for no reason.
Say you had it.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, for what? So now I'm just, I've been touring so long and on the road so long that it's like, I told myself, I was like, this Christmas, because I get off at like, my tour ends December 18th. So I told myself this Christmas that I'm going to surprise myself and I think I'm gonna get something really stupid.
Right.
Like, really, really stupid. Like, I shouldn't get it because, like, it's really some rally rap shit, right, and I should probably just not get it. But because I'm going to do it, and because I just, you know, it's been so long,
right, I can relate. I'm going to share a story with you all fair just because I'm just not ready for the people yet, but I could definitely relate.
You know what I'm saying?
But I feel like cars, though, is something that you're into. I feel like, you know, the Diego video, you got, like, that Godfather type old school.
Yeah, I love that car.
You know,
the Rolls Royce is 1956.
See, there you go. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of feels like
That's probably one of the most incredible cars to me, just because I wasn't supposed to have that car. That was actually a European one where the driver's seat and the driver's side was on the other side.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
And then it was reversible doors. It was a drop head. If you look at the video, it was also a drop top as well. That's what made that car so crazy to me, because you can go and see other 1956 Rolls Royces and stuff like that, but
not
on the other side and stuff, right, like it was a special, right, special car, you know.
And then, you know, you obviously also have the Honda Civic joint.
Mm-hmm.
The song. I feel like cars are very important to you, man. Like,
you know, the thing about the Honda Civic joint was that it was one of those things where it wasn't necessarily just about the car. It was more about my. I had an ex that had a Honda Civic,
mm-hmm,
and we would get. I drive really fast and really aggressive,
right,
but I was always a nigga that was driving, and she's like a very anxious person. So like when I'm doing wild shit, I'm talking about like I'm a real, like, impatient driver. You know those impatient drivers will take the shoulder because they're just mad impatient?
Yep.
Like, I'm that guy. So we had a lot of arguments just about, you know, how I would drive in her car and just, like, she'd be angry at me. But then, like, if I drove, it would just spark some whole other problems. And she would tell me something that it would lead into another argument. Right. And one day, you know, not even just one day, but a lot of times we would just joke around. I'd be like, yo, I'll make a song about this dumbass car, my nigga. You know, it's arguments, niggas done got into it in this car.
Right.
And we would laugh about it and shit. And then one day I really made the song. And that's why the song was so dope and why the song was called Honda Civic in the first place. Because
it's just your ex-girl now, though.
Yeah, it's my... Well, you know, like, I still talk to her time to time, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's my ex.
That's dope. Ed Sheeran covered Say It.
Yeah, I was just with Ed Sheeran last night.
Oh man, what can you say? What you and Ed? What's going on with you and Ed, man?
We was just chilling. We was chilling. We him and Benny Blanco. They took me out to dinner.
Dope.
He was with his girl and Benny had a friend that was with his girl and whatnot. And, you know, we was just chilling. I went there with my tour manager Payne, and we was just chilling, like, basically. And then we went to the Dream Hotel or something, and we went in and we just chilled and, you know, listened to music and whatnot.
Yeah, shout out to Ed. I interviewed Ed one time backstage at the VMAs when I used to work for MTV.
He's a great guy, man.
Super nice dude.
He's super great.
Did you know he was going to cover your song, or he just
No,
did it?
I didn't know. I knew him because I had met him. I had got drunk with him. The first time I ever met him, I got drunk with him. And he was in Toronto. And him and the person who signed me, Benny Blanco, he was in Toronto as well. And, like, they were on some tour or something, so they called me, you know, and, you know, he comes to me and he goes, listen, we're gonna get drunk tonight. And he goes, right now I'm sorry. And I said, why? He goes, for anything that I'm about to say to you tonight, because I get really drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, cool, you know what I'm saying? So boom, I get drunk, he gets drunk, and it's like the first night we meet each other, we just talking, shooting the shits and saying, like, yo, this is what happened in my rap life, and this is what happened in my, you know what I'm saying? And it just ended up being a cool thing. And then while they were on the road, one day I'm on the road as well, and Benny hits me and he's like, yo, give me the instrumental for Say It. Mm. I never knew what he meant, because, like, this thing happened 2 weeks after.
Right.
One day I'm just on the road randomly, Ed Sheeran just got a cover to the shit, and I'm like, oh, this is crazy.
Now, did you, when I first heard it, I was scared. I was like, yo, is he gonna do it? I thought he was gonna drop the N word, bro. He was like, "Yo, the young dude driving this car." I was like, "Oh, I thought it was gonna go there. I thought the feeling was gonna catch him. He was just gonna come."
Nah, I wouldn't. I think honestly, if Ed did that, I think he can get away with it on some wild crazy shit because he has a black soul
for real.
Hell,
if there's anybody that get away with it, Ed
got the black soul.
I think he has so much appreciation for the culture. For hip hop.
Definitely. He knows a lot. You know, he also told me if I'm ever gonna buy a watch to make sure I hit him up and to make sure if I ever drop it in a line to give him his shout out.
I swear, yo, Ed got swag.
Like, yo, Ed's the greatest.
Let's talk about blow.
Yeah.
You shitted on me and I can't wait to blow on you. Who's the top three people in your life that you feel like shitted on? That's about to catch this.
I feel like my grandma shitted on me when she kicked me out the crib when I was like mad young. I feel like this girl, I'm probably not even supposed to say this, but you know, there's a girl named Zoe shitted on me. She knows who she is, some girl from Florida.
Damn, Zoe.
She shitted on me crazy, crazy, crazy. She work in the industry. I be seeing that from time to time. I'm paying on mine.
Zoe, turn on the radio. Tell us what song they're playing, Zoe, right now.
Turn on the radio and listen to My Life, Zoe. Nah, but
so that's two. One more. You got one more.
And the worst shit on I got is from one of my teachers. Her name was Miss Thomas, and she pulled me in a class, and she was like, she called this girl up to the front, and everyone was watching. And she gave me this long speech and was like, how I was, you know, misbehaving and this, that, and third, how I'm going down the wrong road and blah, blah, blah. And she said, Crystal, come to the front of the class. And Crystal comes to the front of the class. And she's some A student. And then she goes, see, Crystal, you need to pay attention to her because in life, she's going to be the one that's signing your checks. All right. All right. I was like, all right, my nigga.
When last time you seen Crystal?
I saw Crystal 2 years ago, right. And she had a job, and I was already signed at the time, but not to Interscope, but just to Independent. Like my life has already changed at that point.
Right.
People knew me and everything, and it was just like I looked at it like now. Imagine I really sat here and listened to that teacher.
Well, shout out to Crystal. It wasn't Crystal's fault.
It wasn't Crystal.
You know what I'm saying? And hopefully she probably signed to somebody check. At this point on her way.
Hopefully.
So shout out to Crystal. Man.
Crystal was a cool girl. I had nothing to do with her. It's just, you know, Miss Thomas just tried to wild up on me in the classroom like that. Like,
come on, Miss Thomas.
Gotcha.
Turn on the radio. Let us know what song
is playing. Turn on the radio. Playing. Listen to My Life. I swear that's the new one.
Turn on the radio. Listen to My Life. Yo, Mama told me.
Mama told me.
You are not afraid. I mean, one of the more of great artists, it's hard to open up, I'd have to imagine, about some of these things.
Of course.
I think some of the greatest artists, some of our favorite artists, open up and give us their life, no matter how painful some of these things are to say. Mama told me you really opened up about your life, man. What prompted that record?
You know, I remember just creating a beat. We played Picasso, and Ryan Hemsworth gave us the loop to it, and I remember just before I even put the drums on it, just saying, Mama always tell me how I had the hits. She wasn't allowed to see me how the hits. And I just kept saying that back and forth. Boom, just after, as I kept doing it, she just sounded crazy. I was just like, I was like, yo, this just got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, as soon as I started recording it, it just fit, and it just sounded right. I just kept going from that point on.
Wow. How's your mom pass? You were young when your mom passed. You were like 10, 11 years old?
Yeah, I was about 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did she pass? You care to talk about?
She was anemic, and I guess complications due to the anemia. It gave her a disease that only 4 out of 1 million get a year. So it's a very rare disease, like, you know, a very random thing. She was alive one day and sick. She was sick one day and the next day she passed. So it was like a very quick, random disease that killed her.
it sounds like a silly question, but how does that affect you? Because it's literally here today, going tomorrow. Like,
well, you know, being the youngest of six kids, you got to imagine that, you know, you already feel overshadowed by the rest of your family because everyone's older than you. But your mother is the one rock that gives you a special love because you're the youngest. So when your mother is taken out the equation, you know, it takes away from, you know, it takes away from how you feel. So you kind of feel overshadowed at that point. You kind of have an underdog chip on your shoulder from when you're a kid, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, that's what kind of did for me.
That's the same. And then, your pops is a minister. Did he become a minister after that?
No, I'm a missionary preacher. No, missionary he was always preacher. A preacher.
Okay, he was a preacher.
Yeah.
Now, how did that affect? Because, I mean, listen, man, I hear some of... Listen, man, Diego? Yeah. And you tell me your pops is a preacher, I'll be like, wait.
No, you know what it is? It's different. My dad, you know, he comes from... Before, you know, he was a preacher, he come from a world of entertainment as well. Mm-hmm. And my dad understands that, you know, in order for me to do what my purpose is on this earth, you know, and what my purpose actually is, you know, bringing those, you know, those people that are in those, you know, unfortunate dark situations and bringing that light of God to their life. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds crazy because, you know, you may listen to my music and be like, he's not. You know, all my music actually really has purpose, and it comes from a place where these people can understand my pain. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes my people might get it misunderstood, but the times when I go out there and I do music and I do, you know, songs, there's little pieces in there where it's like me and God know what's really going on here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, for me, my dad was always a person that supported because he knew that in order for me to, you know, get those people out of those dark situations, I gotta go into those dark situations mm-hmm. as well. And I did. And now it's on me to reflect what I seen and take those people out so they can feel for me. And when I come to a place mentally in my head where I'm ready, you know, to start pulling people out of their mm-hmm. situation with the music, you know, I think that's when they'll be excited to go with me. I feel like sometimes people try to preach this light on people sometimes, and it's like it make them feel uncomfortable. It make you feel insecure. It make you feel like you're not a good person because this person's telling you all the ways to be right. And because you're not on that, you feel like, fuck this guy. How you gonna tell me I'm a bad person? You know what I'm saying? And that's what I don't want to do. I don't ever want to alienate people with my beliefs. I just want them to understand that certain things that I believe and I've realized to come to believe in my life and things that have shown me things, it's like I can only explain that to you and show you, but you gotta be willing to listen.
The funny thing is, and that's life in a nutshell. Yeah. The funny thing is, and I think when people get to judge it, you know, I asked you the question to kind of set up these answers, mm-hmm. but when you look at a figure like whoever you believe in, but if you look at a figure like Jesus ain't hang out with a boy. He was hanging with sinners.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
He was with the people for real.
You know, because at the end of the day, he had to see what was going on with the people.
Right.
Sometimes it's weird because sometimes you need to be oppressed to understand what oppression is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you need to understand the drama that you're in to realize that you're really in drama. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, I'm here to kind of bring that realization back.
Let's talk about this call it new gospel. It's called Lord Knows. Because it feels like that. You get a little church vibe.
Nah, well,
in the shows when you do this. How did that song come about and how did it end up being? You know, the other thing is, and I'll set it up for those who don't know, you should know. Or Meek's latest album, Lord Knows, is the first track. It's the intro.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Meek Mill's, that Dreams, everybody wanted to know, yo, what Meek gonna do on the intro? Coming after Dreams and Nightmares.
Of course.
Which was such a crazy joint.
Definitely.
And Lord Knows. How'd that all come together?
Well, Lord Knows was a song that I did by myself. It wasn't one of those things that I was ever even gonna use. I thought it was a throwaway record, and I gave it to my friend Kells, and Kells gave it to Tak, which is Meek's cousin.
Meek's cousin, yeah.
And said, "Yeah, y'all probably, you know, would want this," and they loved it so much that he made it the intro. You know, I also made the beat with Play Picasso, and you know, we got everything dealt with the right way when we did it for the album, and it just seemed like the right fit at the right time. So that's how that record really just came about. It was a throwaway record, and then we just sent it off to them, and they just made it what it was.
That's dope. What can you say about Toronto? Because you're from like outside of Toronto originally, right?
Yeah. No. I'm born in Toronto.
You were born in Toronto?
Yeah, I was born in Toronto. Mount Sinai Hospital downtown.
Okay.
I went to school in Brampton.
In Brampton, okay. Which is like right outside.
Yeah, it's all GTA. It's all the greater Toronto area. Even Toronto itself is GTA.
Okay.
So Scarborough, all those places, like where, you know, Scarborough is like where all the east side of Toronto, where a lot of it's like another hood and all these different places downtown, all that shit is GTA.
Okay.
It's all one place. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So you're
Mississauga,
from GTA.
I'm from the GTA, just like, you know, if I was from like Whitby or something, then it'd be like, you know, if I was from something that's really outside of Toronto, it wouldn't be the greater Toronto area. But basically, I went to high school in Brampton. And then after I dropped out, I moved back downtown. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What can you say about Toronto got such a wave right now? And I'm trying to figure out what's in the water. Obviously, Drake is the biggest artist in the world. But, you know, The Weeknd, Party, yourself, like... Yeah. It's really a wave coming out of Toronto, and it's dope to see. How can you best describe what's going on back home?
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but One Umbrella, you know, my team is really, we really light up the city. You know, we play a very emblematic part to the city. We're probably, if not, you know, the next and up and coming, we're the right now, you know.
It's definitely right now.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing about us, because it's only me on the forefronts that people are seeing, and that doesn't compare to what is about to come. Like, you know, and the thing about it is like, it's kind of scary to just know that I've been holding this all on my shoulders and I have such a monstrous team behind me. You know, of course, Toronto as a whole and just making music, you know, we've taken a foot forward. You know, we've definitely taken it to another level, because we know that, you know, the music that we make, it comes from a culture of just being around so much other culture. Mm-hmm. When we're growing up, we're not just listening to one sound. This is the melting pot. This is the fourth biggest multicultural city in the world,
right?
Toronto. So you gotta imagine Asians, Indians, all these people's music,
right,
we hear growing up, it changes the way we hear certain things, you know. So the music that we're making out of it, you know, based off of the other inspirations of others and things like that, it comes into one sound that's a very dreamish, different sound. And that's just from growing up in so many cultures, I believe.
Wow, that's dope, man. Like, and it's definitely, it's just dope to see. Obviously, I'm from New York. I don't know if it's so obvious to people, but I'm from New York. And, you know, I think for a while, especially in the hip hop space, for years coming up, New York was kind of the epicenter. But it's dope. I remember being a kid and feeling like I'd never been to L.A. But the first time I heard N.W.A., it was like I've been to L.A.
Yeah, word.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
word, nah, word, word, word.
I was in Toronto once when I was a kid. I haven't been in Toronto as an adult. Mm. But I hear the sounds, and it made me want to be out there in Toronto and paint the picture. So it's dope, man. It's definitely like...
You got to definitely listen to, like... You definitely got to go out there and listen to the music out there.
Right.
You know, because then you'll understand, like, why it's just different. It's like, when you go listen to the music out there and you're driving through the city and in the nighttime, it's just different, you know?
Now, a few years ago, I'll bring this up, like, 010 for your Playing for Keeps mixtape. Challenge Drake to a bet, a very bold $10,000 bet.
Yeah,
that if he heard your mixtape, guaranteed he was gonna love it.
It was that I challenged him that if he listened to my music, he couldn't dislike it.
He couldn't dislike it. Okay.
Yeah, that's all it was. All right. I just wanted to show the world that my shit was hot. Not, and the person who was the hottest at the time couldn't deny my shit.
You so, ain't lose 10 G's.
No, I did not. I kept that shit in my pocket.
Do you guys have any interactions or do you have
I don't know him. I don't know him. I met him like twice. He said he likes the music. That's about it. Nah, I don't know. Okay. I just do my shit and represent my team. That's about it.
That's dope. A few months back, put out a song called Karrueche.
Yeah.
Were you shooting your shot, brother, man? Was this you shooting your shot?
What you mean?
Was this an attempt? Take a song and name it after somebody. I don't know. You want to get her attention? What was the impetus behind that song?
Nah, I had just met her one time. And, when I met her, I thought she was beautiful. And, you know, I'm a real artist, so I don't ever write things that don't come off of the feeling at the time, or that don't come, you know, I don't, you know, if I feel a certain way at the time and I'm inspired to write music, I'm going to create it about whatever is going on, no matter what it is. And at the time, you know, when I met her, I thought she was dope. It wasn't no crazy, like, love story and nothing like that. I met her, style was cool. She told me, I'm writing a song about this girl.
And now she got a song written about her.
Yeah. It's just, I love that song.
It's a dope song.
You know what I'm saying? I really actually love the song, like, regardless of who it's to or whatever like that. Like, I really still listen to the song, like, regardless. It's a crazy song.
That was a dope moment, definitely. And she responded, she reacted, right? She tweeted about it.
Yeah, she tweeted about it. She just tweeted the link and, you know, she said, shout out, you know. And that was cool. And that was enough, you know. I just wanted to highlight that, to highlight that moment. That's all.
You a dangerous cat, man. I ain't even going front, man. You met, listen. My lady, her name is Melinda, man. You make a song called Melinda without that problem. Yeah. It's gonna be some problems, bro. Nah, I don't know if I'm gonna buy your records no more.
It's over for me after that. Like, don't worry, I
saying,
you.
Come on, change.
Nah, there won't be no Melindas.
Right.
You probably just messed it up for all the other Melindas. I know. They probably like, this nigga Rob.
Fuck it.
So it's like, it's all good with me.
Nah, she liked to say it, right? She told me. She was like, oh, man. She was like, oh, you gonna interview today? I was like, Tory Lanez. She was like, oh, he got that record that. That's say it regular, right?
That's crazy. Like, oh no, that's crazy. That's crazy.
But she mostly listens to music in the car when she's driving, so her point of reference is
radio.
The radio. She's on the radio more than the internet.
No, but sometimes it's gotta be like that. Yeah, you know?
I mean, I still feel like that's the way most of the world
of people are not listening to aux cords, and it's just a young thing.
That's dope. Justin Bieber. I'm going to this. Justin Bieber a couple years ago dropped freestyled over Votto, Speaking the Tongues joint.
Yeah.
And who knew the Biebs had bars? But some of the lyrics were influenced by yourself.
Yeah, some of the lyrics were mine.
Yeah.
But he was very young at the time, and you know, he was just playing around. And you know, it was like a couple of lines, but the rest of the verse was his. And you know, he's always shown his support to the music, and he's always shown, you know, an appreciation to the music. So it's always been like when it happened, I was never tripping. I was kind of like, oh, that's tight. Like, I thought it was dope. Like, it's like the biggest artist in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, I was just like, you know, this kid could still 20 lines or take 30 lines. Right. Like, if it never had got caught up in the media like that, I would have never said anything, because he's a cool kid and I fuck with him. So it is what it is.
Plus, you know, listen, man, you could write, you know, he has amazing writers.
But even if so, like, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do that. Like, you know, we've seen people take people's lines and use 4 lines, 8 lines. Mm-hmm. I've seen people take whole verses and just switch up a couple lines. You know, that's
you want to talk about that?
No, I'm just saying, that's just the world we, you know.
Right. Nah, you know, yeah. So, you know, people get inspired.
Yeah.
Nah, that's dope. Any plans to work with him? Like, I think that'd be an ill collaborations with you and Bieber.
Yeah, man. I always told, you know, Bieber, always appears in random times in my life. He's like some monk that comes out of nowhere, because he always comes at this random, like, and he always has my number and calls me from some weird area code, and then like be like, "Yo, lock my number in," and then like I'll have his number for like 3 weeks, and he'll just, his number just changes, and right, like right, he'll right. randomly come in my life again. But you know, every time I see him, I always tell him, you know, like, because you know our friendship is solely based on really like actual friendship. Like he's a cool kid, he knows me from cool kid, but I always tell him, yeah, you know, when it comes to time, you know, I'm going to be standing right there with you. Mm. And I told him, I said, I know, like, you know, it may sound crazy because, you know, a lot of artists, the music is not going to get to that point where they could be worldwide like that. But I told him, I'm going to be standing right there with you. And when I am, that's when we'll work. Mm. You know, I never have ever asked him for, like, a handout or, like, yo, let's do this. Or
that's what I respect about you. Like, again, being from Toronto, it's hot. And you've acknowledged everybody doing their own thing, definitely. But you're very focused on doing your own thing with your team.
Definitely.
And I kind of feel like when you build something up in that way, nobody could take it away from you. The cosign, somebody could take the cosign back, but they don't want you to have the cosign no more. But what we build, no man could tear that.
Exactly. That's why I'm glad that I did it myself, because what's incredible about myself is that I can... Or I guess because I never, you know, segregated myself to one sound or one culture with the music, now I'm able to, you know, do a song with RL Grime and Shlomo, and then turn around, do a song with Meek, and still be me and still be cool. Right. You know, sometimes when people go to Reach to do stuff like that, it's like, are you reaching for that? You know what I'm saying? But I don't gotta reach it, because my citizens of Swave Nation, the fan base that I have, always knew that the music was gonna be different, and I always curated the music for it to be different and for it to be left field sometimes, and for it to, so that they were used to that. And I think that's probably the reason why it took me a little bit longer than everybody else, because you gotta look at it like this. Let's say you have a bunch of seeds in your pocket, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say each day you're only allowed to put one seed into one thing. And let's say the trees that you're planting, they're one's for, you know, your singing, and one's for your rapping, and one, like, skill wise, mm-hmm. one's for your singing. As big as the tree grows is as big as your skill is. Mm-hmm. One's for rapping, one's for singing, and one's for your appearance, and one's for this. Now imagine there's a kid and he's just putting his seeds into singing. There's another kid, he's just putting his seeds into rapping. And then there's one kid who takes every day and he puts one seed into each thing. Mm-hmm. So all the kids who, you know, came out and they put their seeds into rapping and they're great at rapping, their seeds aren't big in singing and appearance mm-hmm. and things like that. All the kids that did their shit into singing, they can't, their rapping tree is not big. Their appearance is not big, you know. But for me, I was the kid who put the seeds into everything, but it, you know, you're only allowed to do this one day at a time. So while these guys was big on one thing, all of my lanes became big, you know, and all of my trees are finally at a place where they can all grow. And even if I do it one day at a time, we're at a momentum now, and the tree is at such a growing momentum that it can be, you know, fathomed like that. It can, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, I feel like, you know, me, just as a person and as an artist, I've had to come out with 97 number ones. I couldn't be a guy who had one record and just popped off of one record. You know what I'm saying? So it took a little longer for me, because I always wanted to curate, you know, other things. I always wanted to make sure that in all of my lanes, I was making sure that I was the best at. And it mm-hmm. took a little longer, because maybe the fans, they need to eat off of one tree. Right. They need to just see you just do rap so they can say, yo, this is what I'm going to go to him for. Right. You know what I'm saying? But they can't fathom when it's rap, sing, this, that, until you grow those with your fans, until they, you know, they grow with you, you know?
And yeah, it definitely feels like authentic. Like, you know, the dope thing about you too, I think your rap skills, like, you feel like confident in kind of everything. Like,
yeah, well, you know, you got to remember, I started rapping first. Right. I just started singing. I'm just really good at
Which is where you got the name Tory from, right? Because originally your rap name was Notorious, right?
Yeah, Notorious. That's what I wanted people to call me, but they shortened it and took the Tory out of Notorious.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's what's next for you, man? The album's coming next year?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. The album's going to be here. I do not have a name for it yet, but I really do need to come up with one for it. But I'm in the creative process of it right now. And
let's start it here on the Red Light Special podcast. Let's do it like this. Everybody tweet at RLS Podcast.
Yeah.
Tag Tory Lanez. Send your suggestion for album titles. We're not saying he's going to use it. Send him inspiration.
Yeah.
It could be a picture. It could be whatever. Send it. Tag it. With Tory Lanez.
For sure.
Debut album, hashtag Tory's debut.
Yeah.
There we go. Hit RLS Podcast, hashtag Tory's debut, and send them any type of inspiration. It could be a picture.
Yeah, I need
it
that.
Could be an album title. It could be whatever. And we're going to help this brother, you know, just get his creative juices.
Yeah, I need that.
Just pump and pause. Pause all that. Pause all that. What's up with the team, though? I feel like you shout out the team a little bit, man.
Yeah. You know, I got a couple artists that are about to come out. 2016 is definitely going to be One Umbrella's year. The squad is called One Umbrella. There's four sections of it, being that I have four brothers, and each of us, you know, we take different lanes in music. Brookso is one of them. That's my brother. Yoko Gold is one of my other brothers, and Sos Couture is like Papa Flock. Like he the OG of the whole thing. And, you know, each of us got our own divisions. But in my division of One Umbrella, I got an artist named Rory True Story, Dave-O, Brittany Taylor, Rocky Diamonds. And there's one more person I'm missing, and I feel so bad about this person.
You're going to have to make it up.
Nah, I'm missing somebody.
Is he on the team? Someone's
gonna be hella mad. Like, yo, my nigga. Or maybe I'm not. Fuck, I don't know.
Yo, you know,
it's about four or five of us.
Hit the feds, you know what I'm saying? Back to back, backwards, you know what I'm saying? So it's lit in here.
And Nice, that's what it is. Okay. And my dog Nice.
Okay. Shout out to Nice.
He like my little cousin, man. So
nah, man, that's super ill. Damn, man. It's definitely Kristen, my co-host, was supposed to be here. She got lost. She's somewhere in traffic. I don't know where she at. We do this. I wanted to get you. We do like a relationship advice segment that she usually does. But I ain't even going to try to go there with you. Because I don't got the email opened up. We have people who email us. Relationship advice and all of that. You good?
I'm good.
Backwards. It's lit in here.
Definitely lit.
What's been the craziest thing? We'll talk about this instead of relationships per se, and this could be female relationships, this could be friendships. Since you've acquired this fame, what's been the craziest thing that's happened to you with somebody from your past?
Craziest in what terms?
Just like, I can't believe you just did that. You know how they say people change or you know, because you always been... You,
I mean, I've seen a multitude of people just switch and not believe when a lot of people just left me for dead, and there's no real way to, you know, come up with one situation. This is a multitude of situations. A lot of people left me for dead, and, you know, I came back and I rose back on these niggas, and I think that's just the craziest thing for me, because it's like it's the when they come back around, it's the I can't believe you even here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my thing. A lot of people just left me for dead. That's all.
Can you see it from their perspective? And I'm just playing devil's advocate. Like, if you say, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this music.
Nah.
I'm going to be one of the biggest artists in the world.
My life, nah, bro.
Right.
It's just one of them things. It's like, and I'm talking real situations.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm not even just talking some like, because what people gotta understand is like when I was signed, when I signed the first time, I was still in the streets. So it was like, right. I just got out the streets.
Right.
Like, literally just got out the streets. So it was like, for me, I'm talking about real things here. Mm-hmm. So it's like, nah, I don't see. Morally, I don't see. Why? Mm-hmm. I just don't.
So your life consisted of a little bit.
A little bit more.
A little bit more.
We ain't going to do that on the podcast.
I respect it. Well, you know, it's good, though. I mean, you know, the people that didn't believe. But you also got to think about the amount of people you inspiring.
Definitely.
Like, if he did it, I could do it.
Oh, no, definitely. You know, that's what we live to do. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to put that inspiration back into the kids and to the people that listen to my music and let them have, you know, the inspiration to do whatever they want to do. You know, I promote being all you can be and actually doing that shit and, you know, doing you to the fullest, right, with no limitation or borders.
That's dope. All right, let's recap. Let's talk about some of the things that we learned today before we get out of here. One thing, if you go to a Tory Lanez show, if you go to this Swavey Nation tour.
Just the Swavey Nation tour.
Swavey Nation tour, okay.
Yeah.
Swavey Nation tour. Do not let him fall. This is not going to happen. He went to Red Rocks. He broke a record. He's going to start flying over y'all in a second.
It's about to be different. I'm about to start doing some wild, crazy, innovative shit.
Start backflips. Crowd, sir. Crowd walk is over. We just going to backflip.
Start backflipping over the back of the crowd.
So we learned that. We learned when he pull up, he's going to cop himself something for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be real stupid when he pull up
this year. I gotta do it for myself, man.
Yeah. But don't act different when he pull up in it.
Yeah, because this is about to be really mean. Just watch my Instagram.
Right. Nah, we definitely gonna be checking for it. We know we got the squad coming. We know we got the album coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, bro. Like,
crazy. Yeah.
All right, look, I appreciate you because, I mean, and I just want people to understand this. We are at a remote location in Brooklyn. Like, Tory came out of his way to be here. This guy's the most humble.
I'm happy to be here.
This guy, he's an artist. He's a star. He came out of his way. Like, we really feel lucky that he's here, man. This shit mean the world to me.
Nah, shit. Likewise, man. This is really dope. I'm just happy to be here. It's an honor, and it's a blessing from God. He deserves all the glory.
Right. No doubt. All right, so we out of here. Listen, until next week. Oh, you know what? If they don't know, where can they find you on social media? Let's do that.
You can find me. No, I'm playing. Mm-hmm. Twitter.com/ Tory Lanez, TORYLANEZ. My Instagram is the same handle, Tory Lanez. And if you're ever looking for the tour dates or anything like that, it's SwaveNation.com.
SwaveNation.com. And you can hit me at Rob Markman.
SWAVE, my bad.
Yup, nah, all good. Swave Nation, SWAVE.
Yeah.
Nation.com, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm at Rob Markman on Twitter. Y'all already know. Hit up the at RLS Podcast on Twitter. Somebody, if you find Kristen, let her know we looking for her, man. I'm about to put her on a milk carton, man. We got a third mic set up here, man. It looks real strange. Kristen went missing. Yeah, man, she went missing. But nah, she'll be back next week. And thank you for listening. We're going to take you out with the sounds of Jake and Papa. Oh, and one time, shout out to This Is R&B, Jamie over at This Is R&B. Y'all support us every week, man. We be on that top box. We pop. And that's the motherfucking truth.